So we're going to continue in a series that we're calling Less is More as we address this COVID-19 issue from a biblical perspective. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, we're going to jump in there in just a sec and let's pray together. God, in this trying time, in this challenging time, Lord, of anxiety, fear, and uncertainty, we pray for the peace of Christ. For all those that are listening, all those that are watching today, God, whatever their circumstance, I pray, Holy Spirit, that your peace and comfort and that sense of security that you desire for us would rest firmly in their hearts. Now open up your word to us, I pray, Holy Spirit, and speak to all of our hearts this truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 14, we'll be there in just a second, and I've challenged our congregation to understand that in times of crisis, in times like this, we should ask the question, is God trying to change something in my life? Again, this series is called Less is More, and God, in this time, seems to be pruning away some things that were normal to us, things that maybe we depended on. And we've been talking about John 15, where Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he removes. But every branch in me that does bear fruit, he prunes it so that it will bear more fruit. And I feel like what's happening is God is pruning away some unnecessary branches in our life right now in order to produce fruit. So the question is, what fruit is God trying to develop in our lives through this crisis? And I want to talk today about the fruit that we bear when God cuts away the branches of false security. The branches of false security. Security or confidence is the feeling that my life's going to be okay. I'm on solid ground. My life isn't going to suffer. And the reality is, a month ago, I think all of us felt that way. But since then, everything has changed. It feels like our security, in some ways, is being stripped away. And it's scary to realize that you can no longer trust in something that you used to think was secure. This picture is of my wife, Shirlene, and I, when we were in Chicago a couple of years ago for a conference. And at the end of the conference, we were getting ready to fly home that afternoon. And we rented some bikes on Lake Michigan, and we went riding around the lake. If you look closely at that picture on the ground near the lake, you can see what looks like kind of dirt or brown substance. It's algae. And as far as I could tell, the algae, when the water would splash up on the walkway, on the path, it didn't splash up all the way, so the algae was sort of limited to that outside edge of the path. And I felt very secure riding on that path on the inside. Well, a few minutes after this picture was taken, my wife and I rode around a corner, and the algae had slid all the way up the trail. It was all over the path, and I didn't know. And I hit that, and my bike just went flying out from under me. I crashed to the ground. And what I thought had been secure suddenly wasn't secure. My bike didn't have firm footing. The bike nearly went into the lake. I had some pretty serious bruises and soreness in my hip. And I had to get back on the bike, and I had to ride a little ways on that trail, knowing that ground wasn't very secure. You know, it's a scary thing when we realize that something that we trusted in is no longer secure. And God may be using COVID-19 to show us that we've taken our eyes off of God as our source of security. Many of us have looked to our jobs to provide financial security. In the last couple of weeks, over 10 million people have tried to get unemployment, have filed for unemployment. Our jobs are no longer secure. Many of us look to our 401k or our pension plan as a source of security for our future. With the stock market crash, that security has gone away. A lot of us have looked to church gatherings, whether it's on a Sunday morning or in a small group or in a class, and that's our source of spiritual security. And we can't even do that anymore. Many of us felt that our health was secure until COVID-19 came to our city. What if we're feeling anxiety Because we've been looking to a lot of other things for our security instead of God. And what if God was pruning the branches of false security so that we would more fully trust in Him? You know, the Apostle Peter learned an important lesson about security when he walked on the water with Jesus. I don't know if you remember that story. That's the story we're going to look at in Matthew 14. But as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he was secure. But not trusting in Jesus resulted in fear and anxiety. As you leave this morning, as you turn off your TVs a little bit later, here's what I want you to remember. When you look at the waves, you forget who's on the water. When you look at the waves instead of Jesus, you forget that Jesus is on the water with you. Let's read that text together, Matthew chapter 14, beginning in verse 25. It says, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they thought it was a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them at once and said, do not be afraid. Take courage, I am here. Then Peter, the apostle, from inside the boat, called to Jesus and said, Lord, if that's really you, then tell me to come to you on the water. Yes, Jesus said, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and walked on the water toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the strong wind in the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. And he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and grabbed him. Jesus said, you have so little faith. Why do you doubt me? What an interesting question for this time. Why do you doubt me? As you feel anxiety, as you feel the uncertainty of this season, maybe Jesus is saying the same words as we get our eyes off of him and onto the waves. Why do you doubt me? Peter initially was focused on Jesus when he jumped out of the boat and stepped on the water, but he got distracted. And he looked at the out-of-control surf. And guess what? That's what Satan wants for us today. Satan wants us to focus on the disaster around us and to take our eyes off of God, to be distracted away from God and look at other things like this guy. Take a look.
Flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face. We're looking to the sky, descending like a cloud. You're standing with us now, Lord.
Dude, that dude needs a round of applause just for finally getting that tree secure against the wall. But like Peter and that drummer, we tend to look at the waves. We tend to look at the distractions. We tend to look at the disaster that's happening around us and not on God. When we look at the waves, what are we focusing on? The negative. We're focusing on what isn't happening the way we think that it should. And we forget that 5 feet away, Jesus is walking on the water. That's right, 5 feet, not six, because Jesus wasn't concerned with social distancing. Remember, he was God. He wasn't afraid of. He would touch lepers without hesitation. We forget that the solution is right next to us if we just turn our gaze toward him. When we take our eyes off of God, suddenly the waves seem more powerful than God. They seem bigger than God. They seem more controlling than God. Once Peter put his faith in the waves, he lost his peace. Where is your confidence today? In the waves or in the God who made the waves? Where's your security? It's been interesting for me to watch Christians during this crisis, as this thing has ramped up and evolved. They sort of fall into two different groups. What I would call, based on this story, God watchers and wave watchers. God watchers and wave watchers. God watchers, during this crisis, have kept their focus on Christ. They're positive. They're full of faith. They're helpful. They're hopeful. They're cautious, but not driven by fear. They trust God's sovereignty in their life. They trust that nothing's going to happen to them apart from what God ordains. In other words, God is in charge. God watchers believe that God is in charge, not the virus. That I can trust God as my source of security and my source of protection. Other Christians have fallen into this category of wave watchers. I think they've lost sight of God's protective power. They've forgotten that God is sovereign. They're living as though the virus is in control of the world, that things are out of control, that somehow God is no longer sovereign over our lives, and they become paralyzed by fear. Which are you, a God watcher or a wave watcher? Where's your security today? Remember, when you look at the waves, you forget who's with you on the water. One aspect of God's character that we need to think about and consider during this time is a character quality that gives substance to all of his other qualities, and it's his immutability. Immutable means unchanging over time, unalterable, and timeless. What does that mean about God, that he's immutable? It means that he's not evolving or changing over time. He isn't becoming more or less of something. He's not learning new things as time goes along. Every aspect of God's character is eternally unchanging. Malachi 3:6, he says, I am the Lord, and I don't change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. In other words, friends, God is perfectly good, and he always will be. He is perfect love, and he cannot change. He is always faithful to his promises. He's continually wise. He's perfectly holy. He's altogether merciful. He'll always be just, and he'll always be true. For those of us that are in Christ, God's promises, he promises to provide for us. He promises to protect us. And he promises to perfect us. He'll never leave us, and he'll never forsake us. His word is always reliable. Come on, somebody, that's pretty good news. That God is unchanging in his nature. He's eternally changeless. If we focus on the uncertainty around us, people, sickness, government, economy, guess what we're going to feel? Anxiety. But if we focus on the unchanging character of God, we can find peace and security in the midst of the storm. So what fruit do we bear when God begins to prune away the branches of false security in our lives? I want to suggest that we begin to discover or bear the fruit of confidence in God. In other words, we realize that things in our life can't sustain us. They can't deliver us, and they can't protect us. So we turn to God. In other words, our focus in this hour shifts. It shifts from earth toward heaven as we try to find something, like me on that bike path, something that gives us stability, something that gives us firm footing in this tumultuous season we find ourselves in. It's where our society is living right now, in fear, trying to find peace in the midst of the storm. Do you know what people are asking right now? Is God real? As you're watching this right now, that might be your question. Is God real? Can I trust him? Is there any substance to faith in Christ? God created a system in the Old Testament that forced the Jewish people to keep their confidence in God at all times. In Exodus chapter 23, God commanded all of the Jewish males three times a year to make a journey or a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, where the temple was, for their festivals, their feasts. They had to trust God, the men, as they left their homes to protect their families, their livestock, and their land. Remember, they're leaving their wives and their children behind most of the time. And there were certain psalms that were written. They were supposed to be sung as they made this pilgrimage to Jerusalem. They're called songs of ascent. Ascent meaning climbing. See, Jerusalem is about 2,500 feet above sea level. So they had to climb or ascend to get there. And journeying from all parts of Judea, as they approached Jerusalem, they had to look up, like in this picture. You can see Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, in the upper left-hand corner, if you can make that out. But as the pilgrims approached Jerusalem, they had to look up. They had to look up to the city. They had to look up to where the temple was. It's a powerful reminder for them that their security was in heaven, not in earth. They had to get their eyes off of the earth and look up. And friends, that's God's word for us today. God allows distress in life, so we'll look up. Sometimes God allows danger around us, so we'll look up. Sometimes things are uncertain. We don't know where our security is going to come from, and it forces us to look up, as he did the Israelites. And Psalm 121 is one of those songs of ascent that they sang as they climbed the mountain toward Jerusalem. And Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, the one who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. But where does my help come from? Not from the mountains. My help comes from the Lord. See, friends, our hope isn't in the mountains. Even though mountains in Scripture speaks of stability, the mountains are really the most stable thing you can experience in the earth. I know we're in South Dakota, you don't know what mountains are. So the hills that we look at. But for a Southern California kid, we had mountains all around, and you look to these majestic rock formations and you think, they could never be moved. Mountains are a sign of strength and stability, and yet the psalmist says, I don't look in any created thing to give me security. My help doesn't come from the mountains. My help comes from the Lord, who created the mountains. The God with more strength than the mountains. The God with more stability than anything in the created world. That God, my help comes from him. And he says, in him, my foot will not slip. In other words, I have firm footing. I'm secure in God. The question, is God real, is answered in that verse. My foot won't slip. I'm secure in him. God is real. He won't let you fall, friend. Man, if you're looking to him, if your hope is in him, your foot's not going to slip if your trust is in God. I love Psalm 94, 18 and 19. The psalmist said, when I said, my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. Isn't that good? When I felt insecure, when I felt anxiety, when I felt like I was slipping, there was something tangible about the love of God. Man, your love lifted me up. Your love supported me in that moment. And those of you that are watching that don't know this God, you can experience the reality and substance of his love every day as you go through these challenging times. When I said, my foot is slipping, your unfailing love, Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me. How many of you can identify with that today? When anxiety was great within me, your consolation, your comfort brought me joy. The reality of the presence of God in the midst of trial and challenge, we can feel the support of his love and the joy of his presence. Psalm 121 goes on and it says, the Lord is your keeper. The the pilgrim now as he starts the dangerous climb up the hill to the temple at Jerusalem is to consider the specific characteristics of God. And so we sing this song, the Lord is our keeper, our protector. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor will the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. The psalmist says, as they climb the hill, the Lord is our keeper. In other words, he's with us. He's protecting us from danger. As they ascended the mountain to Jerusalem and the temple, there were dangers. There were dangers of heat. We'll talk about that in a second. There were dangers, the danger of thieves overtaking them. There was a danger of wild beasts overtaking them. They were nervous as they made that ascension to the temple, and yet the psalmist says, Lord, you're my keeper. You're the one that protects me and walks with me. It says that God is the shade on our right hand. What does that mean? It means that God is so near to us that he casts a shadow over us. So close that when the sun beats down on us, God's shadow is over us. We can feel him. We know that he's near to us. The sun and the moon, that the sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night, that the sun brought heat stroke. It brought dehydration. There were physical challenges of being in the heat of the desert. It was believed that the lunar rays, the moon, brought mental illness or demon affliction. The psalmist is saying, I'm not afraid physically because the Lord's my keeper. I'm not afraid emotionally and mentally or spiritually because the Lord, again, is my keeper. I won't be smitten by other things. Day and night means 24-hour protection. Even when I sleep, the Lord is my keeper. And when I'm in my house, he's my keeper. He will protect us from all evil. In other words, we shouldn't walk in fear. And today, that's the secret word, is anxiety and fear. Many Christians are the wave watchers are living in fear. There's a couple in our church that are God watchers and not wave watchers, and they shared this story with my wife and I. They asked for prayer. They emailed me one evening and said, and they're an older couple in their 60s or 70s, and they said, there's this neighbor couple that we've been reaching out to and trying to share Christ with. He's in his 90s and he has cancer, and she's in her 80s and she has dementia. And she will wander over to our house at times in her pajamas when it's cold and she doesn't understand where she is. And one night she wandered over, and a little while later her husband came over, and he was coughing and feverish, and we knew that we had been exposed to some sickness, and we were thinking it was coronavirus. And they asked for prayer. Here was their prayer request. They said, Pastor, we want you to pray for this couple. We're not concerned about our own health. We're not concerned about our own lives. If this is God's way to bring this couple to Christ, then that's what we want. We want God to move in someone else's life. And there was no fear there. There was no disingenuousness in their life. They genuinely said, if this is our time, it's our time. But we want to bring as many people to Christ as we can before we go. And we said, we'll pray for your protection, your health, as well as the salvation of this couple. That's what I'm talking about. Not living in fear in these days. Believing God is sovereign over our lives. He will keep your soul. The soul was our mind and our will and our emotions. He will keep us from despair, the psalmist says. In Psalm 42:5, David said, why are you in despair, O my soul? Why have you become disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. And we go through these times of despair. The psalmist says, put your hope in God. Shift your eyes off of the waves and back onto God in this hour. He will guard your going out and your coming in. He'll guard you in public, and he'll guard you when you come back home to be with your family. There's safety for us. forever. Can I encourage you this week to pray Psalm 121 over your life and over your family? As you ascend this treacherous journey right now that we're walking through, remember that the Lord is your keeper. Remember that the sun won't smite you by day or the moon by night. Remember that he protects your soul. He's your keeper in these difficult times. Remember, when you look at the waves, you forget who's on the water with you. Man, let's become God watchers. Let's be those that jump out of the boat and walk this walk of faith with God, this Christian walk, keeping our eyes on Christ, not looking to the waves and beginning to think that the waves are bigger than God, that they're more in control of life than God is. When every branch of false security is cut off, we're left to do one thing: lift up our eyes. Friends, can you lift up your eyes for a moment? Can you look away from the earth for a moment? Can you look beyond the mountains for a moment and find peace in the security of the unchanging, immutable character of God? What are you focusing on in this hour of uncertainty? Are you filled with despair and anxiety because you're looking at the waves? Man, my encouragement is bear the fruit that God is trying to reap in our lives, the fruit of confidence in God in this hour. Pray Psalm 121 all week and get your eyes off the waves. And some of you are watching right now and you've never put your trust in God. You're in these times and your security's been stripped away and you're walking in genuine fear. And friend, I have to tell you today, there is much more to life than this life. There's an eternity. And God gives us through Jesus Christ the confidence and the security of an eternity with him. Everyone's going to die. We don't know when our number's going to be called. At some point, yours will. But there's a promise of eternal life with God through Jesus Christ. And that can be yours today. And when you're secure in your eternity, you can walk in confidence in this life. You don't have to worry about what's going to happen to you, what's going to happen to your finances, what's going to happen to your job. You know the Lord will support you in this life and then give you eternal life. Man, I implore you today to put your trust in Christ. Get your eyes off of the waves, and right now, jump out of the boat. Jesus will keep you afloat on the water. He'll be real to you if you pray a prayer of invitation for him to come into your life. And around here we say it's as easy as ABC. A, you have to admit that you've sinned against God. That's easy. We all know that we've sinned in some way. B, we have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive our sin and that there is no salvation apart from what Jesus did. And we have to trust him for salvation. And see, we have to commit our lives best we can by his grace to live for him. Look, today is your day. Today is the day when you get out of the boat and you set your eyes on Jesus and you experience the supernatural power of God to keep you afloat, to give you hope today in this life and the security of an eternal life when you die. If you want to pray that prayer with me, would you pray this right now? Just pray this with me. Say, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've broken the moral law that you created for humanity. And because of that, because I've fallen short, I stand condemned. But this morning, I believe, Lord, that Jesus died on the cross, a sinless person, to take the punishment that I deserve as a criminal. Jesus, today I put my faith in you. Would you forgive my sin? Would you give me eternal life? And would you give me your Holy Spirit to give me the security of your love and your presence? Lord, today I commit to living for you. I commit my life right now, God, to walk with you as best I can, wholly and completely. Would you save me? Would you keep me afloat on this walk of faith? In Jesus' name. Amen. As we close, we're going to lift our eyes and look to him.
Hallelujah. We sing that confidence today. We say,
Hallelujah.
blessing over you as we dismiss today. And they're not going to be able to hear you, but could you give a round of applause to this team that leads us every week in incredible praise and worship, just in your own homes? Just thank them for what they do. And when you see them in person, don't give them a hug, but just wave at them and say, good work, good job. May you lift your eyes above the mountains and find your help in God. May the Lord keep you and be the shade of your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day and the moon by night. May the Lord protect you from all evil and keep your soul. May he guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Amen and amen. God bless you.